back in action. Anybody feel like out of sync? Like the holidays already throw you off, and then when you have cancellations, like no end of cancellations in the last week, really throws everything out. And then doing things you're not maybe used to doing, like shoveling snow, working some of those muscles, falling down in the driveway like I did. Yeah, I was at my daughter's house, and Erlyn's out, you know, in the snow playing, and I'm shoveling, I boom, right on down. And you're, oh, Papa, you fell. And then Brianna's, the ring thing on her door alerted her that there's motion out there, and she got the, I guess that was enough motion, you know. And so I don't know if she's posted it yet, but anybody else fall, by the way? Am I only one? Okay, a couple people. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities to fall out there this last week, so I was definitely praying safety over the family. Yeah, so we're back to it, going to get the good word. And as Madonna had alluded in the opening this morning to the fact that the word for the year is service. And I want to talk a little bit about service today and consider one of the psalms. We're going to look through a whole psalm, Psalm 95, and just think about this. Because when I think about the word service, the first thing that comes to mind is like some type of practical task, like doing something hands-on. And that's possibly because I'm a task-oriented person, and maybe that's why I primarily see that that service is that. Is anybody else, is that like your first impression? Is like a practical act of serving in some capacity. And that's all well and fine. But today I want to perhaps open up a little bit, maybe add an element that might not be the first thought when you hear the word service. And consider that, task is important, hands-on is important. But then there's a relational form of service that is what God is much more interested in. And so the title of this message, it's got like a few different meanings. But if we were to think about what is the priority, what's God's preference, where I first think of task orientation, God's order, like what should be the first service, is the relationship type of service, which does not come naturally to this guy. Because again, I'm more of a task, hands-on, give me an objective, I'll work the thing, you know, plan the work the plan type of thing, and then pat myself on the back, mission accomplished. And relationship, though, is of a whole different order. And it's not as easy to objectify and work through and put goals on it. It's something that is fluid and grows. And that's what God is really concerned about. So with that in mind, Romans 12, verse number 1, perhaps will help to open up this understanding today. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So this is the thing that God has saved us for, is that we now serve him by offering ourselves to him, by coming to him. And it's very interesting in terms of the book of Romans. Like the first 11 chapters are a lot of descriptive theology, and then you get this hard stop in Romans 12:1, and the rest of Romans basically is, here's what you do. So here's what is, here's what you do. And like description and prescription. And right up front, like the header for the rest of this epistle, is Paul is telling saints that it is the gift of God. It is the mercy of God. It is His grace to us that we actually can come to Him and that we can offer ourselves to Him, and it is our reasonable. Some versions say rational service. You might have a version that says rational, and you know, it just makes sense. This is like why you were saved, is to offer yourself in this way. Now, the Greek word for service, which the New Testament's written in Greek, is a sacred service, and it's to render religious homage. And don't let the word religion throw you off. It's just, you know, more in terms of otherworldly, spiritual, a different dimension. And so the service that is commended here in Romans 12 and verse number 1 is basically to leave the things of time in preference of the things of eternity. It's like you are going to enter a portal. You're moving from one plane to the next. And so the temporary, which of course is at least the body, you are offering the natural and the temporary like a hiatus. And now I'm giving that to you because the offering is not a destructive thing. You know, in times of old, animals were destroyed. That was the sacrifice. So what's being destroyed here, or what's being kind of set to the side or set at naught, is the temporary, and now my service is to move to God. That's the eternal. James puts it like this: draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. This is a meeting place. There's an interaction that's about to happen. There's a relational service which God is very interested in, and my salvation, in part, is a means towards that end. I was not saved just so I could escape the lake of fire and have a legal connection with God, which I thank God for both of those things. But I was saved in order now to draw near and to have a continual approach to come to this portal, or to, as Psalm 95 will describe, come to this passageway by praising God. And so let's look at Psalm 95. Now, Psalm 95, to use the title again, is also, in some respects, an order of service. And I've done enough ceremonies where at times, you know, you'll want to have an order of service, like if you're doing a wedding or something or a funeral. You know, we just don't do it all arbitrary and spontaneous and haphazard. There's an organization to it. And it's strange to me, and I kind of get it, but, you know, people have a chip on their shoulder with, like, organized religion and anything that is somehow organized or has an order to it is not spiritual. But if it's spontaneous and if it's really loud and energetic, then that automatically is spiritual. And you know, Psalm 95, there is a sense of an organization. And I'm not saying that was the psalmist's purpose of being inspired to write this psalm. But there is a sense of we've got some steps here. And it is our service unto God that we render for His benefit, for His glory, and of course, for our benefit. And so as we first now come to the Lord, what service could I render to the Lord? I like serving with my hands, but He's more interested in the service of the heart in a proper order. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 5. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. And so as we think about service and leaving the things of time, leaving the present, which is very difficult. The great strategy or mechanism that God has given us is the wonderful way of praise, to come to the Lord and to begin to praise Him, to honor Him, to exalt Him, to sing unto the Lord. And there's something special about singing. Even if you are not a natural singer, you don't think you're a good singer, there's still something that's almost otherworldly as you begin to put praise into song and you offer that to Him. It's kind of like when little kids, they sing out of their heart and it touches a mom and dad. And that's the way God, perhaps that's the way God designed it for us, His little ones, is that He allows us to have these songs of praise. And what happens is, as we praise God, we start to make this transition. We the psalmist says elsewhere, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. So in olden times, in the Old Covenant, it's like you're coming to the sacred space and you're redirecting your thoughts. You're going from the temporary and all the concerns, all the appetites, all the treasures and the trials that assail you and can tend to suffocate you. And you're moving away from that. You're transcending and you're tapping into the Lord with the song of praise. And the psalmist, gives us some reasons here. In verse number 3, it says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all the gods." There are so many wannabe gods, so many outlets for worship and devotion that are presented in creation. But now, by making a choice, I say, no, you're the chief above the gods. You are the supreme one. Of course, we know He's the only God, the great I Am. But now I'm refocusing, and I'm looking to You, the supreme one, and everything else must be subordinated. Everything else must be seen in its proper light. And so why should we sing to God and sing to Him and praise Him to the rock of our salvation, which ultimately is Jesus Christ? Because He is number one. Now, He should always be number one. I get it. But God gives us an opportunity to come to Him and to have that reinforced, to reassert that You are number one. You are the God above all gods. You're the King of kings. You're the Lord of lords. You are the self-existent one. And everything else is a far distant created thing that comes nowhere to approaching Your supremacy. And then in verse number 4, the psalmist gives us another reason for praising God. Not only are You supreme, but You're sovereign. You are in absolute control. Verse number 4, "In His hand are the depths of the earth, the heights and the mountains are also His." So He kind of controls everything. Verse 5, "The sea is His, for He has made it, and His hands have formed the dry land." So He's controller by virtue of being the creator. Everything that is exists only because He spoke it into motion, and everything that exists is only because He sustains it. Not only did God create from the Genesis account in the past, but He continues to hold the created order in motion. Now, that might not be all that exciting to you, but what it communicated to me as I was reflecting on these passages was that I tend to be a control freak, and I tend to think about issues and how can I solve for them, and it occupies a lot of my mind. I mean, my kids have issues, people in the church have issues, and physical issues and such. Like, I kind of hurt my back with shoveling. It's better now, but how can I tend to it? I want to control the situation. My first thought is, do research and do your own thing. But the service that God offers is that I can come to Him. Now, this is very important, so please listen. The service that God offers for me to enter into, the first service, is to begin to release that control by praising God. I praise You, great God. You are the most important. You're high and exalted. And I just release the temporary. I release all the things I'm trying to control, all the financial things. I just make a choice to transcend by praise and to come into your courts and to sing to you. And as you do that, there is a release of those temporary things. Now, I'm not saying they disappear, but they certainly are mitigated to some extent. And now a positioning occurs in my heart. Now, this is important because this service is not one way, by the way. See, this service is relational. And with relationships, there's at least two sides. And so as I enter this portal and the temporary gets left behind and I begin to transcend by this wonderful mechanism, this sweet mechanism called praising God, simple songs of praise to God, simple words of praise to God, then all of a sudden my soul gets positioned for something special. Now look at Psalm 95, verses 6 through 7. We're moving through this order of service psalm, if you will. Now we go from praise, verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. And so I've come in, and I've had this transformative activity. I've made a choice to praise God. I got a bunch of stuff I'm concerned about, but first things first, you're awesome, you're mighty, you deserve all praise and glory, I honor you. And then through that process, okay, now I'm calmed down a little bit. Now I can say to my soul, you know, be at ease, be at rest. Come, let us worship, praise to worship. A slower pace, if you will. What a fast-paced world we live in, by the way. Everything is fast. Everything is fast food oriented, microwave, you know, speed, 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 and a whole lot of, you know, dopamine, you know, get you all amped up, sugar. But the way of God is different. And it's not about, you know, just being active and energized and feeling all great, which is, you know, I'm not saying that's evil. There are times where God works in us in that way too, but often it's the slow, you position yourself and you just come to meditate and contemplate, and you're in that place now. It's kind of like, you know, even our worship gatherings. You know, what do we call these times that we get together? Isn't that interesting? So, you know, are we doing a bunch of tasks here? Are we, you know, hands-on or you know, I know there's people that are serving in those ways around us, but by and large, we've now come here and we enter this portal from the temporary concerns as best we can. It's never 100%, but we now move into this, and praise is that first way. We come in, we acknowledge your greatness, who you are, what you've done in our lives. And then it begins to alter us. It begins to slow us down. Now we get ready and position ourselves, and we just hopefully we get to that point where we're now, okay, we're thinking about God, and we're here to honor God. He's worthy, and so we offer ourselves service, gathering in a corporate sense. But this is also something that we should be doing in our lives on a regular basis, the individual service as well as the group gatherings. Now, the psalmist talks about bowing down and kneeling. And there are times, I mean, how many of you actually do that in your life? You'll get on your knees and you'll pray to God. You'll bow down. Now, some people can't do that for physical limitations or whatever, but it's more about the heart in the long run. That, okay, I've slowed down, and I just absolutely take you in, Lord. You're everything. And now, having transitioned to a certain extent, okay, I'm never saying it's like you're 100% transcendent now, and, you know, the temporary, you know, if you got an itch, you won't even scratch it because you're in the eternal realm. So I'm not saying that it's that. But now, because of that rendering to God, making a choice to engage Him, entering through the passageway of praise, being properly positioned, now here comes the exchange. This is relational. Look at verse 7 again in Psalm 95 through 11. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are people who go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And so the psalmist is, in effect, giving us a way to offset that opportunity of rebellion and to not be disqualified from the rest that God intends for His people. So the Holy Spirit's speaking to the psalmist and using that event in the past. Now, here's the wonderful thing. When we are properly positioned, we've praised, we're in a worship mode, we're thinking about, then all of a sudden, God, it kind of goes into a receiving phase. Now God wants to speak to you. And again, I don't want to make this a hard and fast, you know, this is the ritual, you must praise, then you must, you know, worship in some way, and then all of a sudden, it's not like you can't read your Bible first, so it's not about that. But it is about drawing near to God, and there is an intended exchange. God wants to do something. It's called relationship. And every day that's called today, which, by the way, is every day, today, if conditional, if perhaps in terms of this psalm here, if you have come through that passageway of praise, if you've properly positioned yourself, then you are enabled to hear His voice. You're not just trying to do the religious thing, the devotional or the quiet time, just to do it, to get through it, and then get back to real life. But instead, you know, there's an altering that's happening. There's a relational transaction. And I hate to make it sound business-like. There's just relationship that's happening. God wants to speak to you. God does not intend just to speak to a select few. He wants to speak to every person within the sound of my voice. And for that to be a regular thing, He's given us the Holy Spirit to speak things into our heart. And He's gone so far as to give us a book to help to reinforce that and to make things as plain as possible. That is His intention. Today is a day to hear God's voice. This is the first service. This is the order of service. Now, think about the world that we live in. Again, another great metaphor here from Exodus chapter 17. The psalmist is using Exodus 17 in terms of warning. And how appropriate, by the way, is this historical event in terms of how it applies to us? Because we're kind of like those people of Israel. You see, the people of Israel had they were in bondage. They were in Egypt, which is a type of the world, under Pharaoh, which is a type of who? Just trying to get a little crowd participation because, what's that? Satan, yeah. So Pharaoh's a type of Satan. Egypt's a type of the world, in bondage, and they're brought out by God through blood, right? The Passover. So you got the blood sacrifice, and then they come through the Red Sea. It's a type of baptism. And then, you know, here they are at this place, and they're having a problem. There's no water. And so they begin to get angry at Moses. And Moses goes, why do you complain to me? You know, complain to God. And in this account that you can check out later in Exodus 17, You know, God tells Moses to hit the rock with his staff, and water comes out. The rock's a picture of Christ. The water's a picture of the Holy Spirit. So you got kind of a picture of us as Christians in the place that we're at. We're in the wilderness. Look at verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as at the place became known as Meribah. It also became known as Massah. Moses gave it two names. In the wilderness. Welcome to our world. We are in the in-between state of from salvation to our destination, right? Our heavenly home. Now, these two names are very informative. The word Meribah means strife and contention. So our wilderness, indeed, as well, is a place that's filled with strife and contention. Does the world seem to be characterized with strife and contention, by the way? You don't have to go too far, whether it's in your family, extended family, in neighborhoods, on the job, between nation states. A lot of strife, a lot of contention. So just turmoil, or to put it another way, there's a lack of rest. There's not true peace at this point. We're waiting for the Prince of Peace to impose that peace and imbue this realm with his peace. Now, the word Massah also is instructive. It means to put to the test or temptation. Now, in Exodus 17, the children of Israel put God to the test. For our purposes, it just speaks of the fact that the wilderness is also a place of temptation, that we will be dealing with temptations until we get to the other side. I would love it to get to a point in this wilderness, in this interim, that is the desert, that is this world. I would love it to be totally free of strife and contention and totally free of temptation. If I could wish it and will it, it would happen. But it's not going to be. It's not until we get to the other side that we're free of a realm of outward strife and contention and a inward source of temptation. Lest we be too quick to point outside and say, oh, I'm tempted because of these things. James tells us in James chapter 1 that we're tempted because of our own wicked hearts, that we're lured by things from within. And so that's where we're at right now. Now, why am I saying all of this? That is why it is imperative, the order of service. It is imperative to serve the Lord with gladness, with zeal, to come to him often, to enter the passageway, to position yourself and receive nourishment, which at the very least is an antidote to falling away. They did not, by and large, that is the Exodus generation, did not, by and large, appreciate God's word. They would rather have it spoon-fed from somebody that could get it directly. And when they heard the voice, they shrieked back in fear and wanted nothing of that. And that was a picture of their heart. They were not interested in relationship with God. They were interested in their own interest. And so what happened to them? Over a process of time, there came to a point where the very ones that God desired relationship with, he ended up loathing them. You ever see that, by the way, in this world? A relationship that had a start to it and, you know, had warm feelings and such comes to a point where those people can loathe each other. And you're saying, yeah, Pastor, I mean, I see it all the time. That seems to be the rule, not the exception. Indeed, that's the way relationships go if there's not some work, some rendering of service one to another. And it is also that way with God. He loathed that generation. And he said, they are a people that go astray in their heart. They've not known my ways. So what did God do? He basically released them. And that generation did not reach the promised land. It was left to another. Now, this is a picture of what God intends for us. Serve him. The first service is not the service of hands, but the service of the heart. I come to him and I serve him. Now, in Luke chapter 10, as we begin to move towards a close today, there's some points that are worth mentioning. Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, this is a classic. In fact, you might have already been thinking of this passage before you even knew it was on the back side of the page. In Luke 10, 38 through 42, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now, Mary, in almost picture-perfect fashion, is fulfilling the what Psalm 95 puts forward. She is at Jesus' feet, and so she's positioned herself, and because of that positioning, she's receiving directly from Jesus. But Martha was distracted with much serving. See, there's different types of serving. There's a task-oriented serving. There's the busy beaver type of serving, and some of us are oriented that way, and we like that because you can, you know, get through a task and feel good about it. And so Martha is has these concerns, and she's probably got more of a control freak mentality. And so, you know, I want to stay in control, got to keep things moving here, keep things tidy. There's an organization to uphold, to fulfill this task of bringing forth a dinner. Not the worst thing, by the way, in the world, but Martha was distracted from the better with much serving, a lot of serving. So her quantity of serving outweighs anybody else's, but her quality of service, which Mary chose, is lacking. And so Martha, you know, this is important. She went up to him and said, "Lord," you know, tattle on her sister, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve?" So there's probably a little bit of a legalistic side, and there's principles here, and certainly, you know, Jesus is going to be on my side and feels very strongly about this. Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." See, there's a lot of us that fall into that category as well. We actually are not lazy or sluggish in terms of the hands-on service. We're diligent. We do the things. But we still carry a lot of these anxieties and these concerns because we have not rendered the best service. That is learning to go to the Lord so he can begin to help us with all of our cares and our anxieties, leaving the things of time for the things of eternity. It is a service. I look to you, I praise you. So that means I'm looking away from other things. And now I calm down, and there's a rest, and now there can be an exchange. This is not, you know, the fast food thing. This is coming and prepping yourself for something special. So, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. Jesus, you know, knew them. He had relationship with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And that was his takeaway concerning Martha. You might be busy about a lot of things, but, you know, doing all these great works, but you're filled with anxiety and you're troubled and concerned. Now, what kind of life is that? Does that describe you, by the way? Often it describes me to my shame. Verse 42, "But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." She did the first service. There's an order to things. It's important to eat. You know, it's important that you take care of your house. It's important that you serve hands-on here and there. But you can't neglect to do, there's an order of service. The first thing is the most important thing. Mary chose that. She chose a good portion. See, the food that we're going to eat at this meal, that's going to fade away. It'll be long forgotten, you know, except for the fact that we read about it often. But what Mary chose is the words of Jesus. And his words never return void. His words don't pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. But the words from Jesus, the deposits from Jesus, are eternal deposits. And that is the service that he desires. And that is the service that we need to be busy about, first and foremost. Now, as I was reflecting upon this, the Lord also gave me a little bit of a counterbalance, because there are times in our lives where it is very hard to get alone, to get with God. You know, I think about moms that have multiple little ones. You got three little ones, four little ones, McBride's, five little ones. And for let's say a mom, now I'm not meaning to exclude dads, but let's say a mom's hearing this and she's like, I don't have any time to do that thing you're talking about, to you know, get alone, to go in with praise. You know, every hour is an hour. You know, you have a little one that won't sleep through the night. That's a challenge. And so there's definitely, God makes allowance for that as well. Or you're in a season in your life where there's just so much going on, and you know, you don't want to make this a legalistic thing. If I don't do it the way that guy talked about, then now I feel bad. Because God gives grace. And there are times where, okay, what God is receiving as service is the quote-unquote practical and mundane thing that you're doing. That's important to God. And if you're doing it unto the Lord, God receives that as service, right? I take that as service. You're not able to go directly, you know, maybe you can look back in a time in your life, or, oh, I had all those special times of the Lord, and I had more time and ability, but now where I'm at, I don't have that. And okay, the Lord knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. And so keep your mind set on the Lord, even if it's now just the hands-on. I don't mean to say just the, even if it's the hands-on version. And Colossians 3, 23-24 is helpful. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. You know, there might have been brothers out in the last week that, you know, they're out plowing snow. And, you know, they're barely getting any sleep. And so, well, what can I give to the Lord? Well, serve the Lord in what you're doing. Give God some praise. You know, make sure, you know, just send up some hallelujahs and honor him. And, you know, keep one ear to heaven as you're busy. You might not have been able to come aside, to bend the knee, to take the hour or whatever, but God accepts that. And serve him in your snow plowing. Do it with excellence. Be a blessing. Be ready to plow somebody that is stuck somewhere that you're not going to get any payment for. You just, that's serving the God. That's an example that just comes to mind because, you know, unfortunately, we've had a lot of snow lately. And I do mean unfortunately, by the way. And then Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. An act of service. I do this unto the Lord. And God receives it as such. He receives it, and there's an exchange that will happen because he will repay. It's relational. Whenever we serve properly, it is a relational transaction, whether it's a solemn, sacred, I come aside, I come apart because I don't want to come apart type of thing, or it's, hey, you know, I'm falling apart, I'm so busy, but I'm, you know, my heart's still directed towards God, and in whatever I'm doing, you know, God, please take this as an offering. Please, you know, be pleased with me. And God's open to that. He knows where you're at. And Matthew 25 makes it pretty plain as well. There was a separation of two groups. Some of you, you fed me, you clothed me, you visited me, you took care of me. Well, when did we do that? Well, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. And so serving your spouse, serving your parents, serving your kids. If somebody, you know, if someone's in the hospital in your family and you're not able to do the preferred, you know, perhaps morning devotional or quiet time, but you're with them through the night, don't you think that God sees that as a form of service? You're giving your time, your energy, your sleep. You're sleep deprived, but your thoughts are towards the Lord. And it might just be one whispered prayer, you know, a 5-minute or 1-minute prayer. What's the difference? 1 minute, 1 hour of God, it's all the same. If it's offered in faith, if it comes from a heart towards Him, He receives that, and there's going to be an exchange. He will sustain you. He will bless you in some way. And so, brothers and sisters, the bottom line is, as we're in this year of service, think about the first and foremost, a heart towards God that is desiring to praise Him, positioning yourself, ready to receive, and in any other way, you know, serve the Lord with excellence and be blessed in doing so. And so I want to take some time, and we're in our first Sunday. This is like the first fruit Sunday, if you will, of the year. And just take some time and if this message resonated with you today, I don't know why it wouldn't, but if it's blessed you and maybe admonished you, to just make a commitment and say, okay, let that be my life. I want to hear well done, a good faithful servant, and not just about all the tasks I did, but you know, this relational component. You know, that should be the majority of what my service was. And so let's stand, and we're going to pray, commit ourselves to God here. If we could close our eyes for a moment. I don't want to be negligent. If there's someone here today that you've not yet believed in Jesus Christ for salvation, no need to wait. Today is the day. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot be accepted by God unless we go through Jesus. And Jesus came and lived a perfect life. And then He took the penalty for my sin and for your sin. And He doesn't force that benefit in anybody, but whoever believes and receives that gift is saved and forgiven, is made a son or daughter of God. You can call Him Father. Anybody here today that I could remember in prayer today, you haven't prayed and committed yourself yet, I would just like to remember you after the service today. Just raise your hand. God cares for you. Don't wait to get right. That's not going to happen. That's why Jesus came and lived right for us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Anybody I could pray for, just want to remember you, just between you and me. Pray for you after the service today. Family of God, you hear the word, and there's an opportunity today just to commit ourselves and say, Lord, help me to present myself and the temporary concerns, the cares. Help me to present that, and may it become a living sacrifice. Something is done away with while I continue on. Let that be my continual reasonable. It's not unreasonable. It's not like God's calling us to do something impossible or we have to prove ourselves by some mighty feat. This is reasonable and very beneficial service. It works out for both of us. And Lord, as come into this year, I just want to commit myself to you in this way. Just come on down and we'll pray together before we dismiss today. Serving with the heart, serving with the hands. There's an order. God's a God of order. He could just download everything automatically, no matter what you're doing, unconditionally. And I thank God when He does tend to us with unconditional grace. I thank God for that. But there's also things, there's an order to this. And we have a choice. We're going to choose to draw near. And in doing so, He draws near. Or we say, no, I'm not going to do it. Too busy, or my priorities are elsewhere. And we'll suffer for it. We'll suffer for the neglect. Father, as we just come here today, and I'm sure there's some that are out there still, that we just come and we just commit ourselves to this word given to our church family by the Holy Spirit, Lord, if we needed perhaps just a little bit of a reinforcement or encouragement, maybe our service hasn't been non-existent, but perhaps it's lost some of its desire and zeal. And so, Lord, stir within us once again. May this psalm that you preserve for us incite us, warm our hearts, renew us unto you once a day, and to commit to the service that we've been called to. We thank you, God, that as we're in this wilderness of temptation and strife and contention, hard pressed on every side, outside troubles, inside fears, we're in this in-between state, that you're more than willing to service us and to tend to us, your the sheep of your pasture, and to cause us to eat at your table in the sight of our enemies, to cause us to lie down beside still waters. And so help us, God, to not be rebellious and wandering, but to stay under your rod and your staff, and to receive of your grace. And Lord, stir within us the Spirit. We ask for the Spirit. We ask for wisdom that comes from above, that as we actively engage you and we position ourselves, that faith will please you, and that you will give us the rhema words, the word for today, the word for somebody else that we can share with. Help us, Lord God, just to continue in this way until we're in glory. We thank you, God, for stooping down to feed us today and for leading and guiding us. I pray your protection and your peace upon your precious ones, all for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Blessings upon you.